you have your Bibles today, you can go ahead and open up with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 again. Great to see everybody today. Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me. It's only going to get better from today forward. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to get better. That's what I had in my spirit. It's only going to get better in your life. So what areas do you need things to be better? It's going to get better.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, we've been talking, and I'll read this here in a scripture in a second. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. I pray for fresh revelation today, fresh wisdom. Speak through my lips. Think through my mind that we might all come up higher here today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been talking about the battleground, and that's the name of this series here. And again, I encourage you to pick up the CDs if you weren't in the last few sessions and catch you up to date. It's so important that we listen to the Word of God and just listen line upon line, precept upon precept. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we've been looking at this as our main scripture here for this particular series of teaching. And it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Now notice that Paul said here that Satan can get an advantage of this if we are ignorant of his devices. Amen. So the enemy has schemes. He has strategies. He has a plan. But Paul says here, like an open book test, he said, we don't have to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. And he's talking in context here. He's talking about unforgiveness here. He said, Satan can get an advantage of us if we walk in unforgiveness towards people. Amen. But there's other things that we're looking at in the Word of God about different schemes and strategies. If you go to 2 Corinthians, you're already there anyway, but chapter 10, and we saw this. I'm not going to take a lot of time here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, really, really important scripture here. In verse 3. Are you with me this morning? Are you believing with me this morning? Amen? Amen. I want you to just believe with me. Believe that I'm going to be able to speak everything I'm supposed to speak this morning. Amen? Glory to God. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, or the natural, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal or natural, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We brought forth in the last few sessions, I think this is number, four today, or three or four? I think it's number four. And how that there are three key words that, you know, and the way that we learn is by repetition. I remember, like you all, when you were in grade school, you know, you learn the times tables by doing it over and over and over again, right? How many remember those days? Okay. And it just gets ingrained as a part of you because you repeat it over and over again. And the Word of God is just like that. We have to put this Word in us day and night, putting that Word in us so that it becomes like second nature to us. Amen? But there are three words here that I brought out, and I want to mention this again in this scriptures that we in Corinthians we just read, and that is number one, thoughts, number two, imaginations, and number three, strongholds. Thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. And this is exactly how the enemy of our soul endeavors to get an influence in our lives, and that is the battlefield, really. Let me just say it like this. We're talking about the battleground. The battlefield is between your two ears. It's your thought life. Okay? Now, the devil has been defeated. Now, when you read, and we'll see this today, but in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the armor of God and so forth and so on. When he's talking about the armor of God, you have to realize chapter 6 comes after chapter 1 and 3. That's no new revelation. But you'll find that the Bible says that God raised up, he raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places far above principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. Spiritually, you have been raised up with Jesus to sit above those things. So that when you face situations and combat and attacks and things like that, realize where you're seated from. I made mention of the fact one day I was in an airplane flying somewhere, and I looked out the window, and I thought to myself, man, we're pretty high up here. I can see a lot from up here. And I heard the Lord speak to my heart, not in an audible voice, but in my spirit. He said, no, that's not very high. You've been raised up to sit with me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all this stuff. Now, you have to grab that by faith, because in the natural, you don't see that. But the Bible says you have been raised up right now, presently, to sit with Him in heavenly places. So how you see from the perspective that you see makes all the difference in the world. When you're dealing with the enemy, you're dealing with a defeated foe already. See, our job is not to defeat the devil. Our job is to enforce his defeat. Just like an officer, a police officer, enforces the law that's already been given. And he has the authority to do that. Now, this is so important, because this is the process here. Thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. And so we have to use a filter to filter when thoughts are coming to us. We have to ask ourselves this question: where did that come from? Amen? People say sometimes, you know, about kids and so forth in school, they go, man, that kid sure has an imagination. And that's usually not a positive thing. But who, think about it, who gave you an imagination? God gave you the ability to create an image and think and dream. He put that inside of you, right? Well, the devil's not a creator. All he can do is pervert what God already made. God made music. What did the devil do? He perverted it. Okay? Right? And the devil cannot create anything. All he can do is pervert what God already created. He's not a creator. And so when we understand the power of our imagination and our thoughts, those things will govern us. Amen? Did you know your deepest thoughts are what really control the way you act and think? It's impossible to be depressed without thinking on the wrong things. If you go back upstream and say, all right, what you been thinking on? Well, I'm just depressed, Pastor Keith. I just want to pull the shade down and just eat chocolate cake all day long, you know. All right, honey, what have you been thinking on? Well, been watching about 3 hours of television every day. Well, that could be the problem right there. Okay? Getting quiet in here, amen? But see, what we put in our eyes, what we put in our ears will affect the condition of our hearts. Amen? So we might as well put the right stuff in us. We might as well put the right stuff in us. Boy, I could go over the place. But let's go over here, if you would, to 1 Timothy. And I want you to see this. We'll pick this up today. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would. Now, remember last week, we talked, and I'll just brief you on this here, but we talked about this thoughts, imagination, strongholds. And we went to the Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus was talking here, and he says, three times, he says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How are we going to be clothed? You know what I'm saying? Notice that Jesus used this phrase, take no thought saying. The Amplified says, take no anxious thought saying, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? How's the money going to come? How's that bill going to be paid? The way that we take a thought is by speaking it. Okay? So evidently, there must be some power in connection with what you say. People think, oh, I can just say whatever I want. Listen, Jesus said, take heed what you hear and watch what you say. Amen? Because our words have power, and our words are either working for us or they're working against us. Okay? It's really important. Death and life, the Bible says, are in the power of the tongue. I'm telling you, I know from personal experience, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, boy, I got so much going. Help me, Lord, to contain this in the right direction here. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 11, we'll notice this. It says, but thou, O man of God, writing to Timothy, a pastor here, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now notice verse 12, he says this, fight the good fight of faith. Can we say that together? Fight the good fight of faith. One more time. Fight the good fight of faith. Now we're in a battle. We're in a war. But the only battle that we are in and the only fight that you and I are in are not fighting our neighbors, right? Not fighting this person or that person, but to fight the good fight of faith. All right? We're not to fight. The Bible says we're never to fight the devil. But it does say here we're to fight the good fight of faith. So faith is a good fight. And a good fight, you win. Amen? I grew up in there when I was younger, and there were some bullies in the neighborhood, you know. And that usually wasn't a good fight. Because someone go home black and blue, something happened, you know. But when you won, it was a good fight. Now notice, it goes on to say, fight the good fight of faith. And notice this, it says, lay hold, verse 12, lay hold on eternal life, or Zoe, the life of God, whereunto thou art called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Jesus Christ. Notice this, before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Amen? I mean, standing right in front of that airline pilot, he said this right here. Amen? Pontius the pilot, right? It's bad humor, but you know. But he witnessed a good confession. Now, the only fight that we are in is to stay in the faith realm, not in the sense realm. Okay? Your five physical senses will fight you every step of the way. And that's how it works. Now, you're going to notice that there's three words that I want you to notice in these verses we just read here. It's the word fight. Number two, lay hold. And number three, confession. This is how you fight the good fight of faith. So every one of you that are in this room, our main desire, main vision for Covenant Family Church is to teach people how to overcome, how to walk in victory in every single area of your life. Amen. Some of you have faced financial situations, relational situations, physical situations in your body, different types of things. And when you fight the good fight of faith, you will always come out on top and you will always win every single time. But here's the progression right here. He said that he uses these words right here, fight, lay hold, confession, as words is used twice. Confession, confession, lay hold, praise God. Now, you don't have to turn here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You say, well, brother, how do I do that? How do I walk by faith? You walk by faith by walking by the Word of God. In other words, letting the Word of God dominate your life and how letting that Word control the way you think, the way you act, and the way you live your life. Amen? And so we need to make a regular practice when we face any situation in life. What does the Word say about this? When your body's being attacked with pain or sickness, ask yourself the question, what does the Word of God say about this? And believe me, He has a lot to say about it. Amen? Glory to God. And I was thinking about this the other day in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it is. And I believe the Lord gave me light on this, but Paul said this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is His? Amen. He says, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Amen. Glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which belong to God. Paul told the church at Corinth, and they had all kind of problems, you know, and they were a very carnal church, really natural body-ruled church, you know, but they were saints. And he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That means God lives on the inside of you as a believer. Man, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, God lives on the inside of you. And remind yourself of that every day. It's not just you trudging along through life, going to work, you know. It's just old me. That's why we've gotten into trouble, because it's just old me doing this. Amen. But no, you look in the mirror and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And God lives on the inside of me. And wherever I go, God goes.
Yeah.
You go in the grocery store, He goes with you. You go to the mall, He goes with you. You go to work, He goes with you. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't look in there and see Him in there. And that's why we say, Christ in you, the hope of glory, by faith. By faith. And so, as you acknowledge that, I know I'm going everywhere here this morning, but as you acknowledge the fact that the one, the greater one is on the inside of you, He will put you over in every area of life. So we walk by faith and not by sight. How do you walk by faith? You walk by what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Amen? When I had doctor's reports coming at me from the left and from the right just recently, you know, I said, well, all right, that's a report. But here's a report right here. There's a port right there. And whichever report I believe the most will control me the most. And whichever report I believe the most will control my actions, my mind, my emotions, everything. Amen? Hallelujah. Because, what is Isaiah chapter 53? The Bible says, who hath believed our report? God said that. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And He talked about Jesus, you know, like a tender plant growing up, no form of comeliness that we should desire of Him. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. It's like God is saying, will anybody out there believe my report? Amen? But you can tell whether a person believes the Word, and this is all of us, me too included. You can tell whether a person believes the Word or not. Amen. Depends on their attitude, their actions. Amen.
Yeah.
Like, was it Jeremiah or David? I can't remember. Said that, I think it was David, said, I rejoiced at thy words like one that findeth great spoil. Mm-hmm. He said, I rejoiced at thy word. Yeah. Notice that. As one that findeth great spoil. So how we treat the Word, how we treat His Word, determines the outcome in our lives.
Awesome.
You know, if you get up there and say, by His stripes, you are healed. Aye, Pastor. You know, sound like Eeyore. You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay. You know that donkey Eeyore?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? He's always sad and depressed, you know. There's a lot of believers that are like that. Did you know that by your stripes, you are healed? Really? You think so? That's not what Uncle Fred says. You know what I mean? But seriously, I'm not trying to just be funny, but I'm saying that what word, what we believe will control our joy. Okay? If God says, by His stripes ye were healed, I believe that. Are you saying, brother, don't go to the doctor? No, I'm not saying that at all. In fact, if you go to the doctor, go in faith. Okay? If you have to take medicine, take it in faith. There's no condemnation whatsoever.
Amen.
Praise God. But what I'm saying is this, is that who we believe and what we believe according to the Word, if we really believe it, it will affect our joy. Amen? As Paul told the church at Thessalonica, I think he goes, when I came unto you, I preached the Word to you. And he says, and you received it not as man's word, but God's Word, which effectually works on the inside of you. And Paul was commending them. He said, when I preached to you, he goes, you didn't just take it like, well, that's just Paul talking. He said, you received it as if God Himself was speaking through me to you. Amen? Well, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Grab. And the way that we fight the good fight of faith is, notice he said, Jesus had a good confession before Pontius Pilate. When he was put on trial, knowing full well what was going to take place, that he was going to die and become the sacrifice of our sins. In the greatest trial of his life, in the greatest pressure of his life, Jesus spoke what the Word of God had to say. You know, the battlefield is in your mind, but what's in your mind will control what comes out of your lips. Okay? And we need to say things that will line up with the Word of God, that will change the course of our nature, change the course of our bodies, change the course of our finances. Amen. If all you say, by his stripes, I am healed. Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses. Now, this might be new to some of you here. That's all right. Praise God. That's awesome. You're getting a hold of this. But if that's all you say, that's exactly what you're going to receive. Amen? When you fight a good fight of faith, that means you lay hold of the Scriptures. You lay hold of the Word of God. And you speak only what He says. Let's go over to 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 5. Right at the back of the book here in 1 John chapter 5. I have a question for you today. Will your name be in Hebrews chapter 11? What is Hebrews chapter 11? That's what we call the Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame of Faith. You know, they have sports Hall of Fames, baseball, football, whatever sport, you know. And those are considered the best players of all times. Amen. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11 is a prime example of that. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Sarah did this. By faith, David did this. And there's he goes on and on and on, all these different people in the Old Testament. By faith, by faith, by faith. And then they conquered and they overcame. Amen? It's no different with you. By faith, you conquered this situation. How many of you ever faced a situation in your life where God brought you through it? Raise your hand. Some kind of situation. Well, your faith brought you through. Your trust was in the Lord. Well, look at 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. I love this. This is amazing here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, praise God. Let's break this down here. This is so rich, I'll tell you. You could just camp on this right here. Amen. Whatsoever is born of God. I want to ask you a question here. How many of you, if you're a born-again Christian, you know that you are born of God? Raise your hand. Okay? That's awesome, isn't it? It didn't say if you feel like it, but he said, whatsoever is born of God. Well, are you born of God or not? I am. How about you? Are you born of God?
Yes.
Yeah. See, how do you become born of God? You believe in Jesus. You say yes to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, what happens? You're born of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. And so that's not physical death, that's spiritual death. Because all of us, because of Adam's sin and transgression, we were dead spiritually. That doesn't mean that, you know, like we think dead in the ground 6 foot under. I'm talking about spiritually dead, where you're separate from God. And I remember vividly what that was like before I was saved. But something happened when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, just by saying yes to Him. The Bible says you not only became a Christian, your body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that you are born of God. You become an overcomer. It says, whatsoever is born of God, say, that's me.
That's me.
Okay? Whatsoever is a me. Whosoever is meaneth me. All right? When Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you qualify. Because you're a whosoever, you're a whatsoever. Now listen. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Notice it doesn't say whatsoever is born of God will eventually overcome the world. That's not what it says, does it? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Well, brother, what does that mean? That means this in simple terms. Anything that's in this world system can be overcome. Sickness, disease, poverty, oppression, depression, addictions, the list goes on. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And notice this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold. Praise God. Boy, I tell you, your faith is important. Because it's our faith really means our trust. Who are we looking to? Amen? Every one of you, I'm sure, if you open up a dollar bill and it says, in God we trust. But a lot of people have said, in this we trust. In the economy. You could have a revival reading a $1 bill. No. In God we trust. Amen. Right? People don't think twice about it. But you know, in God we trust. And whatever is born of God, I'm born of God. See, this is how you meditate. You take a scripture, you speak it over and you over, and all of a sudden it just dawns on you. I was doing that with that Corinthians scripture the other day, that I have been bought with a price. And it says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Let me ask you a question. Can you glorify God with sin in your spirit? No. You can't glorify God with sickness in your body. He said, you've been bought with a price. Glorify God, not just in your spirit, but in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. See, this body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. My spirit belongs to Jesus. My body belongs to Jesus. And when you understand that your body and your spirit belong to Jesus, it takes the struggle out of trying to believe Him for healing if you need healing. Because wait a minute, this is God's body. This isn't mine. My spirit, that belongs to God. Are you with me? And it says you've been bought with a price, a great price. Oh my. Do you realize that the debt of sin that you and I owed could never, all the money in the world couldn't pay for that sin debt? There's no amount of money in the world. The richest fellow in the world cannot pay for you to be forgiven. Not all the money piled up in one place in this whole world was enough to redeem you. The Bible says you've not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. You've been bought with a price. Your bodies have been bought with a price. Your spirit has been bought with a price. And, you know, all you have to do is receive that. You didn't do it. You didn't work for it. Did you work for your forgiveness? No. All you did was say, Jesus, I need you as a Savior. And what happened? He came in and washed you and cleansed you and purified you as if you never had a past, as if you never did anything wrong. My, my, my. That's good, Brother Ray, isn't it? Glory to God. He paid the price for our sins, totally. And He paid the price for your physical well-being. Glory to God. So whatsoever, verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You are an overcomer right now. Well, brother, I sure don't feel like it. When I woke up this morning, man, everything every symptom said, you're not an overcomer. But see, I want to give you some inside information. Can I give you some inside information this morning? Okay, are you ready for this? Don't tell anybody. This is just between us right now, okay? God says you're an overcomer when it looks like you haven't overcome anything. Because Jesus did all that for you. He overcame the devil for you. Okay? You don't have to roll your sleeves up and say, all right, devil, let's go. You know? No, Jesus did that for you. Scripture tells us that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. Best example, I heard about this one time when I was in Bible school. It was so awesome. He said, it's kind of like this. It's like a prize fighter, a heavyweight boxer. Okay? And he's married, has a couple of kids, you know, he's training month after month after month, you know, like when you saw Rocky, you know what I'm saying? And he's training and he's exercising, he's training, and I'm telling you, the big day comes. Now, the grand prize for winning that fight is $5 million. Okay? So the day comes and he goes out there and he's trained and he's worked hard, you know, and he gets up there and the bell rings and they go to, and they do one round, two round, three round. And in the fourth round, the guy that's trained the hardest and worked the hardest knocks the guy out, and the judge goes over there, lifts his hand up and says, winner, and the bell rings, you know. And the final analysis, they come out and bring this massive big example of a check for $5 million. He gets the check, brings it home, gives it to his wife. She becomes more than a conqueror. Amen. I get that one. She didn't even fight. All she did was show up and watch and eat popcorn. Right? But she received the full benefits. She became, he was the conqueror. She became more than a conqueror because she reaped the benefits of something he fought for. Hey, that's exactly what happened when Jesus fought the devil in awful combat. And I mean, he beat him bad. He didn't just whip the devil. He whooped the devil. That's worse. Amen? Remember when you were growing up, you got a whooping? That's worse than a whipping. Won't do that again, praise the Lord. Because pain talks to me, you know what I'm saying? Now, I don't believe in child abuse, but I think it's important to discipline your kids, amen? You do it in love and so forth. The Bible teaches, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it, amen? Praise God. So, we're overcomers right now. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but think of this situation back in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, and I'll just refer to it because of time here this morning. But, you know, Israel was in a bad place, and they were backslidden, and the enemy and so forth were coming against Israel. And Gideon was actually hiding in a big wine press, hiding from the Midianites for fear. He was hiding from the Midianites because when Israel backslid, the enemies had authority over them. But as long as they walked with God, I'm telling you, they defeated armies way bigger than they were. But every time they backslid and turned back and went backwards, you know, the enemy could come in and take advantage of them. And so here's just a lowly person on the totem pole, if you would, Gideon, in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites. He was threshing wheat to feed his own family. So picture this. He's in this big vat, so to speak. He's in there hiding. He's in fear. He's trembling. You know, thrashing wheat. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. I believe that was Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. And that will get your attention. And he says, "Oh, Gideon, mighty man of valor." He probably looked behind him and thought, me? That's exactly what happened. Now, he knew this was the Lord. He immediately began to make excuses. He says, "I was from the poorest family in Manasseh." And he got all these natural excuses. In other words, I was born on the other side of the tracks, you know. We didn't come from a wealthy family. All these excuses. But Jesus, in his pre-incarnate state, the angel of the Lord, when he spoke to Gideon, he says, "Oh, Gideon, mighty man of valor." All right? Now, Gideon, at that present situation, he was in fear. He was in trembling. He certainly didn't look like a mighty man of valor. He certainly didn't look like an overcomer. And all he could think of was all the excuses why he can't win. Man, I was born on the wrong side of the... born at the wrong time. We didn't have any money. We were busted, broke, disgusted, you know, as they say, you know. Didn't have anything. But notice that that didn't change God's mind. He says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." You see, God sees the beginning from the end. Amen? As Pastor Lynn was ministering to some of you all this morning, there were some words that were given to you that maybe your mind had a hard time grasping, that could that be what God really thinks about me? But the fact is, that's true. God looks at you and says, "You're more than a conqueror." Don't go look in the mirror and say, "Well, I sure don't look like it. I sure don't feel like it. Last time I checked my bank account, it don't look like it." Okay? So whose report are we going to believe? Well, remember what happened, long story short. You know, Gideon You know, God whittled his army down to 300 people. 300 people. And they went against armies that were thousands of people more than him. Thousands. Hallelujah. And they ended up defeating the enemy with 300 people when they're out against thousands of people. Now, if you do the math, you do the numbers, it doesn't work out. Pull the calculator and say, wait a minute, 300, they have 35,000, 300, guess who's bigger? Here's where we have to make the adjustment. Always remember this. You and God are always majority. Always. They that be with you are more than they that be with them. Remember that? That prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. Remember that? That servant, Gehazi. And he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. He said, wait a minute, there's two of us and there's thousands of people. And he says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw chariots of fire, thousands of them round about. So there are angels for you. Yes. Ministering spirits. Yes. Remember Jesus said this, that he said, don't you know that I could call down 12 legions of angels? He says, I have the power to take my life and take it down. He says, I have the power, I have the authority to call upon 12 legions of angels. Now, he chose not to do that because he became the sacrifice. Which tells me this, he didn't call upon the angels so you and I could.
Well, that's good. That's really good.
Amen?
Amen?
Oh, my, my, my. There are so many angels that are on unemployment. They're on welfare. You understand what I'm saying? They want to, oh my goodness, angels have been created to help us complete the job, complete the task in our lives. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that are heirs of salvation? So, brother, that sounds pretty far-fetched to me. No, no, it's Bible. It's Scripture. There are angels waiting for you to, you know, they're there to wait upon you. You know, when you go to a restaurant, what do? You look at the menu. The waiter, the waitress comes up, and what do? You put your order in. You say, well, I'd like this particular thing, you know. And she takes the order, and then she disappears. You don't see her. Where'd she go? Well, she went back to the kitchen, told the chefs, you may not have seen anything from that moment forward. When you gave her the order, you probably didn't see the food, you didn't see the cook or the chef. But all of a sudden, 5-10 minutes later, depending on what restaurant you're in, here it comes. Here comes the food, you know. So what did you do? You put your order in, you relaxed, you're thinking about, well, that hamburger's going to be really good or whatever. Okay? So they're ministering to you. They go to get what the order you put in. Listen, angels have been sent to minister to you and to me. All we have to do is give them an assignment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you would be surprised if you started to do that, what will take place and the things that will take place. Praise God. See, angels have been sent to protect you, to guard you. And you're not, listen, when a person dies, they don't become an angel. Okay, let's just shoot that out the window right now because that will be a demotion. You know, you do not become an angel. That will be a step down because angels are not made in God's class. We are. That's why the Bible says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, God created you and me in his likeness, in his image. Angels are spirit beings, but they're different class than you and I are in. We are actually in God's class. Praise God. First class. Amen? Someone asked T.L. Osborne one time. He said, Brother Osborne, you know, he had revival over the place, you know. And he said, do you fly first class when you fly overseas? And he thought about it and he stopped. He said, No. He says, I am first class. Amen. Now, what does that mean? That means you see yourself as a superior being in Christ Jesus. We're not talking about pride or what you can do, and you know, that's removed. We're talking about bragging on Jesus and what He has done for you. He said, you're more than a conqueror. What are you going to say about yourself? Well, brother, I'm not very bright. You know, I feel stupid sometimes. You know, don't say that about yourself. Would you walk up to, well, maybe you did before, but would you walk up, after you're redeemed, would you walk up to someone and say, you're just so stupid. You're an idiot. No, I wouldn't do that. But yet there are believers that say that about themselves. Say that about themselves. Don't criticize yourself. Don't condemn yourself. God's not condemning you. He happens to love you so much that He died for you. Went to hell for you for 3 days and three nights. And if He did that for you, you better believe He puts value on you. You've been bought with a price. Amen. I've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. And we don't want to downgrade that because He made us first class in His image. When you became a child of God, you became an overcomer, a victor and not a victim. And once you find out of these things of who you are in Christ Jesus, you will never be defeated again. Now, circumstances might come against. You know, we're not exempt from temptation. We're not exempt from different things that can try to come against us. The Scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us out of them all. Amen? Amen. You know, there might be different afflictions that come. Don't just major on the first part of that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. All right? See, I told you all these afflictions. It says, no, major on the second part, but the Lord shall deliver us out of them all. Oh, praise God. Jesus even said in His gospel, He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but don't put the period there. And I've seen people fight for the right to tribulate. In the world you shall have tribulation. And you major on the tribulation. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. In other words, get happy. Amen. I've overcome the world. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's just the kids having a good time, man. They're happy over there. Amen. If they can get happy, we can get happy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's all right to smile in church a little bit. It's all right. We ought to be the happiest people on the earth because we know the Bible. We know the Word of God. It's of no private interpretation. He's given it to us to control our thought life, to control. And we're talking about the battlefield of life. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now here's your assignment for the week, all right? Class, are you ready? Are you ready? I want you to look in the mirror several times this week, at least once a day, if not several times a day. And I want you to look in the mirror in that bathroom or where car, whatever, and I want you to point yourself right there and say, you are an overcomer. And you do it. All right? Now, the Lord will see whether you do that or not, right? Okay? I may not be standing there, but God will see that. Yeah. Now, brother, why do you have people do this? For this reason. You're releasing faith out of your mouth by saying what God says about you. You know, if we just say what God says about us, we're only going to receive what He says about us. If I look in the mirror and say, loser, you know, sick, broke, and I see myself that way, and I talk that way, that's exactly what I'm going to have. Okay? Brother Charles Capps, you know, who's one of the best teachers, I believe, in the body of Christ. He's since recently just moved to heaven and fulfilled his mission on this earth, you know. And I'll never forget this. Jesus revealed Himself to him one day before a meeting. He actually preached this. And the Lord spoke to him and said this. He says, my people have been saying what they have. When I have said in my word, they can have what they say. Okay? Oh, wait, that went over my head. Let me say this again. Jesus said this. He says, my people, Christians, he said, they've been saying what they have. When I've said in my word, they can have what they say. In Mark chapter 11, it says that. That you can have whatsoever you say if you believe it in your heart. Okay? So, if I look and I say, I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm defeated, well, guess what? I will stay on that level. Okay? See, God calleth, quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. And He calls you an overcomer, even though you may not feel like it. Glory be to God. He calls you an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Now, some of you, this hasn't registered on you. You're still kind of in the mental realm. You're trying to figure it out. Well, this is where victory starts. Years ago, I was in a meeting, you know, and the Lord taught me something. We were in this little hotel. We went to a conference. In fact, Brother Hagin was teaching on a Holy Ghost meeting. It was in Canton, Ohio. We were in this hotel, and we dismissed from the morning conference, the meeting, went over to our room, you know, just to get refreshed for the next meeting. And, of course, you walk into the hotel, you're on the first floor. And I wasn't paying attention. And we walked into the elevator. It was just my wife and I. And I can't remember if the kids were with us or not. They might not have been. But our hotel was on the third floor of this complex, all right? So we walk in on floor one. Well, we walk into the elevator. And for some reason, I pressed one. Just wasn't paying attention. Well, the doors closed and there was no movement. All right. All of a sudden, my lightning fast mind, I begin to realize, you pressed one, you stayed on one. You pressed one, you stayed on one. So to go on three, you have to press three. In other words, you have to call forth three. Are you with me? So if I'm on one, where I want to go to three, what do I press? I have to press three. Well, see, I wasn't paying attention. I pressed one, and the door opened up, and I'm like, well, that's the lobby. I just walked in here. I pressed the wrong button, right? All right, here's the revelation. If you want to be on floor three, you have to press forth three. Okay? Now, if you want to be healed, you can't keep saying, I'm sick. Amen. Are you with me? Now, in the back of this room, there's a thermostat. You can see it if you look back there on the back wall. There's a thermostat there that controls the temperature in this room. Okay? You can control the cold, the heat, so forth and so on. But there's also a thermometer on there that will tell you the temperature in the room. There are two types of Christians. There are thermostat Christians and thermometer Christians. I say, wow, that's getting deep, brother. Just hang in there. We're almost done here, all right? Thermometer Christians just call it the way it is. It's 70 degrees. It's 70 degrees. Okay? A thermometer just reads the temperature. So, in other words, if you're a thermometer believer, you'll say, well, I'm sick and I've got this symptom, I've got that problem, I've got this thing going on in my life, you know. So in other words, you're just seeing it like it is. So that's like pressing floor one, and you want to go to floor three. You're not going to go anywhere. But a thermostat Christian says, you know, it's 60 degrees in this. I want to make it 70. So what do you go? You go over and press that little button. It's 70. What happens? A message goes out to the furnace, which you don't see with your eyes. And the power comes on, producing heat. And once it reaches 70 degrees, it stops. It cuts off. So a thermometer is just like, hey, this is the way it is. I call it like it is. You know, I'm a real person. This is the way it is. But listen, a thermostat Christian will say, you know, it might be 60, but I want 70. Amen. You know, my body might be experiencing this symptom right now, but I'm calling forth healing right now. Hallelujah. And what happens is, and this is why it's so, folks, it's so important that you don't forget about this kind of stuff. Some people think you graduate from this and you move on and like you never talk about faith anymore. Are you kidding me? We live like, this is how we live. Hallelujah. And I've seen in my own life, I've seen money come into my hands when I didn't have money and I needed money bad. By just saying, Lord, you supply my needs. In Jesus' name, according to Philippians 4:19. Amen. And by his stripes, I'm healed. And see the power of God go to work. So anybody can be a thermometer, but it takes a woman of or man of faith to be a thermostat and say, you know what? I don't like the way that's going in my life. Praise God. Some of you today, it's okay to have a righteous indignation in the sense that I'm tired, grit your teeth and say, I'm not going to live like this anymore. Amen. See, the whole world system, folks, is going downstream, a negative downstream. And there's a lot of believers that are going in that stream as well. And they're just speaking wrong things all the time, negative things all the time, bad things all the time. And that's all that they're experiencing. But folks, listen, ha, ha, ha. There's a higher life. There's a higher plane. And you, the Bible says, the lips of the righteous shall deliver them. Yeah. It says that the lips of the righteous shall deliver them. Well, what does that mean? It means you start saying what the Bible says. You say what God's word says. Hallelujah. You look at that billfold and you say, my God supplies all of my needs. Money, you come into there in Jesus' name. And then you watch the angels start to work on your behalf and bring things to pass. And they're working behind the scenes, I'm telling you. And they've been sent to, I'm telling you, I don't think I ever felt it this strong as I have this morning here, but your angels are waiting for you to give them an assignment. Amen? I know Lynn was ministering one time and she was sharing this, that she had, one of her close relatives wasn't walking with God, and she began to pray for them, you know, and they came back in the process of time. They said, I keep hearing this word, this person she was praying for, I keep hearing this phrase, follow the path of God. Well, we knew where that came from. Listen, if devils can speak to people, which we know that happens, right? Yeah. So, oh man, that person's so influenced by the devil. If devils can influence people, how many of you know God can influence people too? Yeah. I'm telling you. God can influence people, and he wants to influence people. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I see that, Lord. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Sometimes things are hard to put in words when you see it in your spirit. But there are different walls that some of you have faced in your life. A wall that's keeping you from seemingly the promise of God, keeping you from the blessing of God. But the Lord would say today that if you just open your mouth and you begin to boldly speak what God says, that those unseen forces, those angels, shall go to work on your behalf. And they shall minister to those in your care. They shall minister to your family. They shall minister to you in areas that you need them to minister. As you open up the word and you begin to declare, open up your mouth and begin to declare what God's word says. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You can say things like, Lord, I pray for that loved one right now. Lord, send forth angels to them. Minister on their behalf right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen. I remember way back, and I'll close with this, that when I was going to Bible school, it was my second year of Bible school, and we lived in this apartment complex. And there's only two floors. We lived on the top floor. People lived underneath us, you know. And there was a couple that lived underneath us from Hawaii. They were here. He was going to aeronautics school in Tulsa where we were living, you know. And so at this time, at that time, you know, I was working another job. Lynn was working in a hospital. And so a lot of times our schedules would be, she'd be at work, I'd be at home, vice versa, you know. And I'll never forget, it was on a Saturday, and I was doing some homework for my school. You know, I was just working on some projects that I had from Bible school, you know. And I noticed that every single Saturday that I was there, this couple would get in a fight downstairs. Now, those walls weren't very thick. You could pretty much hear everything, you know. And I could hear this couple arguing and arguing. And, I mean, it got more and more intense as the weeks went by. And this one day, I was really concerned because, you know, they got this little baby and they're arguing and stuff. And so it got real heated. And I'm upstairs. I'm trying to study the Word of God and do some things for my school, you know. And it got so intense that I started hearing punches fly. I could hear, you know, whack, whack, whack. And I thought, and I heard the woman screaming and he was yelling. And, I mean, it was so intense. And, I mean, this went on every single week, but this particular Saturday, it was really intense, you know. And the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen. There was obviously something else controlling that individual down there, okay? And so I just, you know, I've been in the Word like this, learning some of these things, and I just stood up, and I was in my bedroom, and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was in my living room where I was. They were right underneath me. Now, I didn't say it out loud where they could hear me, but I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you stop in your maneuvers right now. And I'm telling you, just as soon as I got those words out of my mouth, they instantly stopped. Instantly stopped. Boy, it was so quick. And you know what's interesting about that? Is from that moment forward, I never heard them argue again. Week after week after week. In fact, I went out of my door, walked down the steps to go to my car, and I saw them holding hands together. And I thought, praise the Lord. Amen. That's better than rock 'em, sock 'em robots. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this. You have more power and authority than you even realize. They were being influenced. That gentleman in that case was being influenced by an evil spirit to hurt her and harm her, you know. But listen, he wasn't the problem. It was the spirit behind him that was doing that. And I'm telling you, you have a power and authority on the inside of you to take authority. If something's harassing you and something's doing something to you, you can take authority in Jesus' name and say, no, you stop that, Satan, in Jesus' name. You desist in your maneuvers and operations right now. Glory to God. Instead of just saying, well, what will be, que sera, sera. That's not scripture. You know? You know how the world is. No, we have authority.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Father. We'll pick this up again next week. I got some other things that we just didn't have time to get into today. But why don't we bow our heads and we'll pray, all right? Father, thank you so much. Thank you for raising us up. Seated with you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here today, Father. Today I pray for each one before we leave here, Lord. I pray that there will be great wisdom, great revelation that will rise up inside of our hearts and our minds as we go forward this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Insight, wisdom. Oh, thank you, Lord. It'll be as though this week you're gonna. It's like a flashlight. Shines on a verse of scripture or two, and all of a sudden you're seeing something I'd never seen before in the Word of God. So I thank you for wisdom and revelation for each person here, Father, and particularly those areas that maybe they've struggled in, which we all have areas we have opportunity to trust you, Father. And I pray that the wisdom of God would be so strong for each person here. Oh, I thank you for that, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Someone's being healed right now in their neck area. I think it's in the back of your neck, I believe. God's healing that right now. There's been some pressure there, and God's healing it right now. So go ahead and receive that from Him. Receive that from Him right now. You're healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And also that bad situation that seems to loom before you, it's not as bad as you think it is. The enemy's painted a bleak picture in your mind, like, oh, look at this situation here. But the Lord would say to you today, it ain't as bad as you think it is. In fact, it's going to turn out just the opposite. Things are going to turn around in your favor. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. We receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.